there's certain days where it's like, yes, I will absolutely figure out a way and I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And there's other days it feels impossible. Mm-hmm. And those are the days you really have to lean in as hard as you can to get through a workout like today. Even if that just means 20 or 30 minutes of something where I'm used to doing 2 hours, 4 hours in a gym or something like that.
It's a special place, not because of the walls or the weights or the decor, but because of the characters that hang out here. I'm Jake Waring, and my family has been empowering our community's journey to optimal health and fitness for generations. We are a family, and we help other families. And this is the pursuit of excellence, meaningful results, genuine connections, and having plenty of good laughs along the way. This podcast embodies all those principles. Join us each week as we share stories, insights, and tips that may help you reach your fullest potential in mind, body, and spirit.
Danny Hart, we made it.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a long morning.
Yeah, it has.
So I'm stoked where you're here. Welcome to Where the Beach Gets Fit. And if you hear some noise in the background, some slamming of some weights, some people
Waring's
yelling, we're wearing gym right now.
Free of charge.
I'd like to be in no other place in the world.
Yeah.
So how's it going?
I'm feeling a lot better after getting a workout in this morning. I think right now with just my health coming in, I was nervous about how it was going to go today. And I think just trying to remember, it was a good reminder to stay disciplined. And when I leave workouts, I'll feel better mentally, maybe physically right now, but I definitely feel better mentally. So It's important.
And for some context for people that don't know you, you've been a face here at the gym for, I don't know how many years, probably at least.
This place is so special to me. It has always felt like home when I come back to Virginia Beach for so many years coming back through college. It was the first place I'd come at 5 a.m. and come meet Max in the morning just to say hi. And
yeah,
I love it here.
Yeah. You started here in high school?
I think my sophomore year of high school, maybe.
Okay.
But when I came in here, yeah, I was playing volleyball and I had a lot of knee issues, tendonitis. I'm 6'3" and I was growing really fast and my muscles hadn't caught up and I hadn't been introduced to any kind of strength training yet. And that's when Max and Jimmy really took me under their wing. And I really started with just band workouts for months before they really moved me to weights. But they taught me, you know, all of the, I don't know, they broke down every exercise and how to, you know, engage your core and make sure I wasn't going to hurt myself through weight training. And I just felt really, really prepared by the time I got to college as far as strength and speed, but also the fundamentals.
Yeah. Yeah. I never really worked with you too much. I've seen you working with Max and Jimmy and they've done such a great job working with you. And I've seen you really develop as an athlete too. You started off at Ocean Lakes High School. Did you guys win a state championship there?
No, we lost in the state final my senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. Came close, but no, we didn't. But it was that last year, especially, was a really fun year.
Yeah. Then you broke my heart by committing to Tech and then going
and
to Wisconsin.
Back. Yeah, that was wild. I forget about that a lot of times. But I committed to Virginia Tech to play early my sophomore year, thinking I didn't want to go very far away from home. And soon started to realize that I felt like I was closing doors and opportunities for myself and decided to walk away from that commitment and open the door back up late my junior year, which was the scariest decision of my life. But absolutely paid off. I ended up in the Big Ten Conference. It's the best volleyball conference there is, with Wisconsin, where I played for 6 years and just had an incredible career. So it worked out.
And?
Yeah.
A national championship?
Yeah.
Which is pretty incredible.
Oh, it was really neat. I'm coming back home in the last few months. I was going through old journals and I had goals written down for myself that I had written early in high school, and that included winning a national championship, national team member, All-American. And I had also written that I wanted to be around a culture that had a growth mindset, that wanted the challenges, and was going to be around girls that were going to be my friends for life. And I remember writing those things down and thinking how impossible those felt at the time. It felt like going to the moon, right? And coming back home and reading that, it was like, wow, I have done all of these things, every single one of them. And that was really special just to kind of take in and appreciate what you put your mind to, what you can accomplish.
Yeah, that's such a cool thing about goals, is like when you write them down and you get really excited when you write them down, they somewhat feel impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes you lose them.
Yeah.
And you don't know where they're at. And then you find them later and you're like, oh my gosh, this is like so dead on.
Yeah.
From what actually happened.
And at the time, I think it's something I wrote down as a dream, right? And then you put your head down, your blinders on, and you just go to work at it, and you get in the program, and you know, you're in and out of that all the time, you know, mm-hmm. for 6 years. And when you lift your head up out of the water and see like, wow, I did that, you know, it's very special. And what I've learned through accomplishing those things is it's so much more than the accomplishment itself, but what comes along the way, the gift that comes in the chase of that accomplishment, if that makes sense. So, you know, it's not the trophy and the confetti and all those things, but chasing something that's bigger than yourself with so many people around you that mean so much to you, and growing as individuals and growing as a team and all the things that come with that, you can't put words to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so after Wisconsin, you turn pro, right? Yeah. I love talking about the idea of turning pro in general, but.
Yeah. So I think, well, in the volleyball world, up until truly my senior year, or I guess my sixth year, you know, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call that, it wasn't until that year that you could play in the United States, that there's the opportunity to play in the United States the following year. Up until
that's new, right?
That's new. Yeah. So up until that point, you had to go overseas. So at the time, I was finishing out my sixth year. I was coming back from an ACL injury in 2021. So 2022 was my final year. And I was thinking in the beginning of the season that I was going to go play overseas when that season was done and play half a season professionally, whether that be, you know, Italy, Germany, you can go all over the place, anywhere in Europe, really. My knee health really took a decline. So that ended up not happening. But as I was talking to any player that would talk to me, lots of Olympians, national team members, other professionals that I've been playing for a very long time, I got a lot of FaceTime calls and was just learning about the overseas space. And that was when I ended up talking to Morgan Hintz. She's a rock star. She's probably my favorite volleyball player. She's just an amazing human and just so fun to watch. She's a libero, so defensive player, played at Stanford, won, I think, 3 national championships, has been in the national team gym since, was actually out there in Paris training with the Olympic team, helping them in practices behind the scenes. But she was the one who introduced me to PVF, Professional Volleyball Federation, a new league starting up that was backed by Joe Burrow and then attracted a lot of big investors.
Really? Interesting.
And so that was, you know, a new opportunity starting in the United States in spring of 2024. So I ended up staying after that 2023 January. I rehabbed my knee, ended up in the USA gym with the national team from May to August, which was amazing to just be, you know, playing under Karch Karai and the staff there at USA, and really just getting to know all these girls that I had remembered watching before I got to college, you know, in the NCAA. Yeah. And like, I remember watching Micah Hancock. She's an incredible player. When her, I think, 4th national championship, she won a lot of national championships. She was a part of the, I guess, glory years at Penn State, uh-huh. where they won, I think, 7 in like 8 years or something like that. Don't quote me on these numbers. But anyways, I remember watching her win her last national championship, and she has like the serving record in the NCAA and whatever. And then I'm just casually having lunch with her every day, you know, after playing in the gym with her. And I mean, she's just so fun to be on the court with. And so getting in that gym, those first couple months it was just really incredible to look to my left and my right and see who I'm next to and getting the opportunity to play with. Mm-hmm. And then just the play is so elevated. Just everybody's so, their volleyball IQ, as we say, is really, really high. And so just the rallies that go on are incredible every day in practice. Yeah. But yeah,
I talked to a lot of athletes and almost all of them have like imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
A little bit. And then they're like, they look around, they're like, oh, I'm one of them.
Absolutely. And absolutely. And I mean, I remember having meetings with Karch saying like, you know, it's such an honor to be in that gym. And yeah, it's intimidating as, you know, I'll get out. But I think what I leaned on heavily is when I first got to Wisconsin, I was absolutely the worst in the gym for my first year and probably my second year too. And I knew that I went from being the worst in the gym to, you know, holding my own by the end and an All-American my last year. And I think that gives you confidence, you know, going into, okay, I can start from, even if I'm the worst, I can, you know, work my way up. I don't know if that's the right attitude for everybody, but I don't know. It gave me a sense of not saying that I was the worst in the gym.
It takes a lot of courage to go somewhere where you're not the best.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to, you know, you step up.
But I think having been in that kind of position, it gives you just confidence that you'll figure it out. And, you know, you don't get in that gym on accident.
You know, you can grow there. Yeah. Right? That's a growth mindset.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, whatever you do, you can get better at it.
And you don't just stumble into, at this level, stumble into these things. You've put the work in and you trust the work at that point. And I think that's where true confidence comes from is when it's earned like that.
Yeah.
So it really just allowed me to appreciate who I was around and, you know, that gym.
Yeah.
But yeah, I followed that up and into a professional career in the United States, played with a shorter league called Athletes Unlimited in the fall, and Pro Volleyball Federation in the spring this last year.
Hmm. That's cool. And then what happened?
Yeah, so it didn't exactly go how I would have liked. I got out of the USA gym. You know, we had gone on the Pan Am Cup in Dominican Republic, played in Puerto Rico, had some tournaments, a really cool experience. Had about a month, and then I reported to Athletes Unlimited. And it's only a 6-week long season. It's a really unique format there, but long story short, I got a concussion in the first weekend of play, official play.
How'd that happen?
I was blocking a ball, and I've taken hits off the head before, but I think this one got me more on the side of my head, and I immediately felt nauseous the rest of that match. Went home to sleep that night, had a headache laying down, was concerned. Next day, just didn't feel right. Don't know how else to explain it. You know, I'd gotten ready for practice and I ended up going in the training room and reporting myself as concussed. Somehow I was cleared to play within a few days again. You know, after that day, I felt pretty normal enough that you could talk yourself out of any symptoms. And it felt pretty ridiculous to not be playing. So I was cleared by an athletic trainer and doctors and was back playing the very next weekend. And my second match back 9 days later, I got hit by arguably the hardest hitter in the gym. And I mean, she just rocked me. And
is that pretty common?
To get a hit off the head blocking? It's done not uncommon by any means. But I think like a hit like that before wouldn't have done anything. But because I had just had the concussion before, it just spiraled. So yeah, I spent that rest of that month. I was out for the rest of the season. I could hardly talk on the phone, watching TV, driving, going for a walk. I couldn't exercise, anything like that. I was down bad for the month. Didn't think concussion symptoms could last longer than like 3 weeks. Nobody really talked to me about that. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how little I knew at the time.
Yeah.
And I start kind of getting back into exercise. I was actually in Colorado. I was taking a drive out to the Red Rock Amphitheater. I was going to go, you know, for a run up the stairs. And got into a car accident, call that concussion number 3. I didn't really recognize it as a concussion at the time. Definitely had a strong headache rest of that night, next day, whatever. Start getting back into strength training come December. January, report to Pro Volleyball Federation, the professional league, and cleared to play. Feeling good. Pretty quickly into practices, I'm starting to notice within a few weeks that I'm having headaches every day. Same part of the head I got hit before. I start asking questions. I never used to have headaches ever before my concussions. They order me supplements, and before they can even get in, I get hit a fourth. I get my third hit, fourth concussion in 5 months. And it was not even a strong swing. We call it like a, you know, 70% swing or something in practice. Thank gosh. And I was down really bad for months. I mean,
really? What was that like?
I couldn't take a walk around my apartment building without feeling horrible. I described it as feeling like you were walking with constant car sickness for 2 months. Just constant nausea. It was really hard for me to get up out of bed and make breakfast in the morning. I couldn't be around noise, light sensitivity, all the things. And they sent me to a sports medicine doctor. He prescribed me at the time an antidepressant. Well, he gave me 3 weeks. Let's see if we can get your symptoms down to just headaches. If we can get it down to just headaches, I'm going to put you on an antidepressant, but purely to treat your brain, nothing to do with mental reasons, because the chemicals in your mm-hmm. brain are, you know, messed up. And then maybe if we can get you on that for 3 weeks, then we can get the headaches to go away and start increasing your cardio. Like, okay, that, you know, makes sense. Sure. I don't really know the space.
Just trusting at that point. Yeah.
Well, 3 weeks go by. None of my symptoms are any better. Still puts me on the antidepressant. More weeks go by. Not any better. We're trying to push some cardio goals. And every time I try any of these cardio goals, I end up down worse for several days. And I ended up getting so frustrated.
What was it like, the cardio?
The cardio goals?
Yeah.
Just simple, like going for, you know, some biking on and off, or, you know, stationary biking pretty much, and trying to hit like a certain level. I don't remember exactly what the RPMs were now.
And you couldn't do it. Your heart rate would go too high, or just felt
it
sick.
I actually felt good usually while biking, but then I would have a horrible crash of like increased symptoms and just horrible energy levels and all the things for days to follow. I could feel the effects. So I ended up really struggling mentally. You know, I was could hardly leave my apartment for a month and a half. And
not to mention your dreams.
Yes.
You know, like
the team is still able to play and go, and I couldn't be in that space, right? I couldn't be in the gym. I couldn't really be around them. They're traveling. I'm left in Omaha, Nebraska by myself.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to do there. So I made the decision to go home, which at the time was really hard for me because I'm oriented around the team. I felt like I had made a commitment, and I tried really hard to stay and stick to that and support them. But it came down to where I had to choose my health, you know? And so I made the move to go home, and quickly I had a lot of people that were very frustrated with the way my health had been handled out there.
Okay.
And so that was when I saw out a physical therapist, was given a name of a neurologist out in Richmond, Dr. Gregory Oshanik. He's been amazing. I had a 5-hour appointment with him, and he went through visual exercises, vestibular, all kinds of things. It turned out that my right eye was tracking slower than my left eye. And so, you know, and some other things, but that was a big part of why I was feeling so nauseous. Everything, my vision was out of whack in my vestibular system. My neck has been an issue, you know, all the things. So then he sends me off to a neuro-ophthalmologist, and I've been doing eye exercises since. My physical therapist here in Virginia Beach had also given me like a vestibular exercise, very simple. Essentially, you hold your thumb out in front of you and you turn your head left to right while looking at your thumb. And then you can do the opposite, where you hold your head still, but you move your thumb left to right, and you watch, like you track that thumb as you're moving your thumb left to right.
Are you tired of feeling sluggish, out of shape, and unmotivated? Introducing Xrsize, the all-natural solution for boosting energy, building strength, and improving mood. Now available anytime at Waring's Gym. Xrsize is a fast-acting, non-prescription solution, clinically proven to reduce stress, improve cardiovascular health, and sculpt your body, all with just 30 minutes a day. Side effects of Xrsize may include increased muscle mass, enhanced mood, boosted self-confidence, and a stronger heart. In some cases, users may experience the desire to wear smaller jeans and post-workout selfies. Talk to your loved one today to see if Xrsize at Waring's Gym is right for you. Join now and take the first step toward a stronger, healthier you.
That simple exercise after a week made my nausea almost go away. And I was just so frustrated that it took me 2 months to be prescribed that exercise after feeling so cruddy for 2 months. You know, it just took something as simple as that to start to balance that eye, the eyes back out. So
anyway. I know this is not this is somewhat related, but talk about me for a second.
Go.
Like I get overwhelmed all the time, and I, you know, I just got so many things going on all the time, and it's like got ADD mind, and the thing that calms me down more than anything is reading.
Yeah.
And just even just being able to focus on little small objects, it really it really does help center.
You know, you think that's something everything. With like the mindfulness of reading?
I think it's just connecting that those your eyes with your, you know, with your brain,
your hand or whatever. Yeah.
So
yeah, that's interesting.
I was like, those practices.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing lots of little practices for months now, trying to get all of those things back. There's a lot of things you wouldn't notice in your day to day, but then I go to my ophthalmologist and she has me do these exercises and my eyes wear out so fast and I couldn't do them, you know, and then months later after doing these exercises, I can.
I like the term practice because, like, you know, your practice changes from being every day going into the, on the court practicing in volleyball versus now you're doing
vestibular, you know, and
vestibular exercises.
Yeah. Which vestibular is really, I think, like your eyes and your neck, that relation for people who don't know, but
interesting.
So I've like all over the place. I don't really know where I started, but I've been rehabbing all summer and, you know, suffering from post-concussive syndrome is what they call it, after the four concussions within 5 months of each other. And as a result of the concussions, I have more recently learned in the last 2 months or so that I have POTS. Postural orthostatic tachycardia, I think is what that stands for, syndrome. So essentially what POTS is, it was triggered by the concussions. It's becoming more common as a result of COVID and COVID long haulers. People with a vaccine and things like that are coming down with it. It's usually triggered by some kind of condition, trauma, concussions is, you know, responsible for 10 to 20% of the people with POTS. What it is, basically, when your body gets in an upright position, your body tells your nervous system, like, hey, you're in an upright position. Squeeze the nerve. There's a small nerve that wraps around your blood vessels. It tells that nerve to fire, squeezes the blood vessels, and pushes blood up to your heart and your brain. When you have POTS, that nerve doesn't fire. So your blood pools in the lower half of your body. And as a result, your heart rate increases as it's trying to get blood up to your heart, which is a good thing. You need blood in your heart and your brain. But then it throws everything else out of whack. So this is all related to the autonomic nervous system. It's responsible for the nervous system that does everything automatically for you without thinking about it, like regulating your blood flow. It's also responsible for, those nervous systems are responsible for your fight or flight mode, how you feel safe in an environment, whether you feel social. So as you can imagine, it triggers a lot of anxiety. It fires the adrenaline in your body because it's, you know, constantly working. You run out of energy very quickly because your body's always at an abnormal high heart rate, even sitting, you know, upright or standing upright. And then as a result, exercise is very difficult. Most people are very exercise intolerant with POTS. So it's just this whole mess. It really messes with your physical side and your mental side, and kind of takes, while concussions alone can take your mental control away from you, POTS is a whole nother level to it. So I'm fighting both of those right now.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm fascinated by just having this discussion and a lot of things I didn't know. I think there's a lot of misconception about concussions in general. Where are you finding the most support right now?
With my concussions?
Yeah, just with
my neurologist has been
getting answers, really.
Everything for me. I mean, just my saving grace. I think, like I said, he really invested a lot of time with me in that initial meeting. And the way they run their office is they truly try to treat patients like they would family. And it truly feels that way. And so they are the people I am trusting and relying on the most right now, and getting me the resources that I need right now.
And do you feel like there's other people around in your kind of network that come out and share kind of similar experiences?
Yes. And in the last month or 2 months, I shared for the first time kind of what was going on behind the scenes online and on Instagram. And mostly because I had just talked to a beach volleyball player, plays professionally with AVP, Julia Scholes. She was amazing and was very gracious with her time sharing her story with me. She had several concussions when she played at UNC indoor volleyball. She transferred to the beach league because she felt safer for whatever reason from concussions with beach. And I was just so thankful for her story. She is like my hero right now because she's like gone through it all and is now back just badass and dominating the AVP. And I just think it's so hard to find these stories. And I just felt like even if there's one or two people that can hear this story and it like helps them the way a story like that helps me, it's important to get out there. And so, but as a result, I was also helped myself because so many people reached out to me and shared their own stories. I remember in particular, there was actually Wisconsin alumni, Haley Nelson. She was always somebody I looked up to, you know, going into college and whatever. And I really appreciated. She texted me and she said, you know, I never had a concussion when I was playing. Mm-hmm. She's since retired. And she never could understand concussions when her teammates would have them, yeah, you know, and how that was affecting them. And then she actually was working out in a bar. She was doing like overhead pulls or something. And the bar came unclipped and dropped on her head. Oh. She got a concussion. And she said, you know,
it's happened to me a lot.
Concussions. It might explain some things. Concussions take from you what other injuries don't. It takes control of your head, like your mind.
Yeah.
And it's a really scary place to be. And so just things like that, where you feel crazy or can gaslight yourself for your low energy levels or like where your personality's at and things like that. It's very validating and helpful in that sense to hear these stories, immensely so.
Yeah, I think sometimes we're very scared to like share our experiences for some reason. Like it's emotional and vulnerability.
Things are so vulnerable. Like, you know, I say that I have depressive episodes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And days where I just quite literally have hated my personality and don't recognize myself. And those are very scary places to be and it's very vulnerable.
Yeah.
But I think it's also really important that people can share those things because there's a lot of people struggling with it.
Yeah. And it's an injury that, you know, that's not recognizable. Like if you hurt your knee, you're wearing a brace and people can kind of tell like, oh, be easy on foot. But you know, you just look like a normal person. Yeah. So.
And it's completely invisible. I had someone the other day who was like, said that they had a doctor who described it. For some reason, when you have an ankle injury, they're like, oh yeah, 4 to 6 weeks at least, you know, ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. But we don't think of our brains like that because we can't see it. We can't feel it the same way as we can like these muscles and tendons that we've torn or whatever. But it doesn't mean it doesn't need the time. So,
yeah. So I guess really with that, you've met some people that have maybe gone through it all and that are back playing again. So, you know, there's some level of hope that's restored with you.
I've really struggled. It's been easier to find people with the concussions and some crazy concussion stories. And still that space is scary because just because they're back playing doesn't mean something could not happen. And mm-hmm. then they have later effects down the road or whatever, because they've already had so many. And nobody really knows, I think. And all we can do is lean on people like my neurologists that are very experienced and have been doing the research for decades and whatever, and have this deep understanding of how the brain heals and works in that space. With POTS, it's been extremely difficult to find other athletes collegiately or professionally to talk to. Mm. And honestly, a lot of the stories that I have heard are it's tough because you hear from them and it's very clear that they've had lots of lifestyle changes. Many of them did retire because of POTS and just the energy levels were too hard to keep up with. And so I am, you know, currently just doing everything I can to find solutions and leaning into, you know, obviously POTS is related to your nervous system and blood flow and things like that. So what are things that I can do that help reset those systems, like breath work? And I've been trying all kinds of different therapies. So right now I'm doing the Wim Hof breathing method in front of a red light therapy panel every day. And I've done hyperbaric chamber. I'm doing all the supplements. I'm back on my own kind of exercise plan. I think they had kind of guessed at, you know, exercise, where to start me with exercise, and my symptoms have gotten dramatically worse. And so I think that I have a better idea of what my body needs maybe than some of these people that I've talked to that are POTS specialists at the time. Just, I don't think a lot of them have worked with elite athletes. And so their baselines are off when they're trying to treat like a normal person. But yeah, I'm throwing everything under the sun at it. And I think, you know, they tell me that there's not a cure. You will be like this for the rest of your life. And it's all about managing and figuring out. A lot of it's hydration and salts, mm-hmm. and they recommend compression pants. I don't see compression pants as a solution personally. It just feels unfeasible to be wearing compression pants
still
every day.
Try it.
And I hate wearing pants. But, you know, a lot of it's hydration and salt. I've just gotten a machine that's, you know, gets hydrogen water. I've actually noticed a big difference. I shouldn't say huge difference, but I've noticed a difference. My heart rate for the first time is starting to dip below 90 at times during the day. And I think I'm definitely staying more hydrated rather than that, like, water just running right through me. My body is holding on to it. So I said, you know, there's no one that's going to be more determined than me right now to find solutions for POTS and figure out if there is a way to get back to a normal or somewhere remotely close. Yeah.
You know what I've just recently kind of turned a corner on is I love setting goals and having goals, but just really falling in love with the process.
Yeah.
Right. Just like the day to day and the almost discovery of it. And I know it's frustrating at times because you see where you want to get to and you want to get back to this professional level, but you have to take it
one
chunk
day
by chunk and day by day. And almost like, I mean, just get to breakfast and then get to lunch and then get to dinner. It's like, get to the next moment.
There definitely are days where that's still the case. And it's, I think, reminding again that the patience is so important right now. In the last 2 weeks, I was supposed to be playing with a new professional league called League One Volleyball. Most of the Olympians are coming back from this last Olympics and playing with this league here in the United States. And I was really excited to be a part of the inaugural year. They actually have one of their locations in Madison, Wisconsin, where I used to play in college. And what a gift that would have been. And what a gift it was to have that opportunity. But I had to walk away from it and I've decided to take another year to get a grip on my health right now. It became very clear a few weeks ago that there's just no way I was going to be ready to be able to perform and play volleyball and do so safely in only a few weeks. So I'm trying to lean into the patience. I think I've always been the person that, you know, wants to grind through something. And like you said, just focus on that process. I think where it's so challenging with this right now is your emotions are all over the place. Like, due to one, all the stresses and anxieties that come with the situation itself. And then also just your brain being chemically all over the place and your nervous system being all out of whack. And I think figuring out how to manage fear is huge right now. And yes, I am absolutely hopeful, but I'd be lying if I said that hope like doesn't waver, because there's certain days where it's like, yes, I will absolutely figure out a way and I'm going to do this. And there's other days it feels impossible. And those are the days you really have to lean in as hard as you can to get through a workout like today, you know? And even if that just means 20 or 30 minutes of something where I'm used to doing 2 hours, 4 hours in a gym or something like that, you know, and
I also think to the, when you do get back to that professional level,
hopefully,
you know, game situation, sometimes it's not the best physical athlete that wins. It's the one that is the strongest mentally and too, and like going through all this, going through this, like, you know how much stress and fear goes into that, you know, tie ball game, one more point to
high
win.
Pressure situations. Yeah,
high pressure and being able to regulate that and control it and control your emotions.
Absolutely.
That's going to make you a lot better of an athlete.
Absolutely.
Too. So going through this is can be a little bit of a gift as well.
Especially at the highest level, I think those are the things that become the difference makers, is who can handle the mental game better. Because at the highest level, everyone is really, really strong and everyone has speed. And maybe there's definitely people that have, you know, strengths in some areas versus others, but everybody's a phenomenal athlete. And so, you know, that's where things like volleyball IQ, like we say, you know, the way you can think and see a game and then also carry yourself through a match and the positivity you can give and the aura you can bring to your teammates and things like that when you're in those high pressure situations are the big difference makers. And that's what makes sport so fun, you know, because it pulls those things into your life. And I think then off the court, you can apply those in different ways that just take everything to the next level. So
that's so cool. Well, Danny, you got such a great story, and I know all of us here at the gym are following you on this journey, and you know, we wish you all the best getting back to the peak. So
thank you.
Excited to share this with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But cool. If anybody ever, you know, wants to talk more or wants to pick my brain or anything, or just needs, you know, help in their own space, I'm here as a story and an outlet and here to share what I know. So
cool. We'll share your phone number in the profile.
Thank you. <Okay. laughs> Yeah. DM me or something. Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, that's it for today. Thank you all for joining us on today's journey. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and check us out at wearingsgem.com. Also, I would love to hear your feedback, questions, and any topic that you would like to hear more about. Feel free to email me. My email is jake@wearingsgem.com. See you all next time.